as we started. Lou. The horror on Reed's face, the absolute terror, was an image I'd never forget. Though he charged up and down the chasm's edge, searching for the narrowest lip, for a pattern, for a miracle, it was better this way, truly. Whatever happened now, it would be between my mother and me. Just as we'd started. In line with my thoughts, Morgane swept her hand in a burst of magic, and Seely soared through the air, crashing into a Brindle tree. Two blood witches had been trapped here, dropped to seize her, to... No. Hope burned savage and bright in my heart. To help her. They were helping her. In that split second, I thought of Manon, of Ismay, or Dame Blanche and Dame Rouge alike, who'd been harmed by Morgane's hatred, who'd felt trapped between church and coven, who'd lived in fear as debilitating as mine. Hope isn't the sickness. It's the cure. Of all people, of course it had been Seely to find Morgane, to stalk her unseen as she slipped through the city. My mother never would have suspected it. She never would have believed such a pretty porcelain doll could grow teeth. If she thought Seely would shatter, however, if she thought I would, it would be the last mistake of her life. This time, I wouldn't hesitate. Lou! Lou! Seely! Reed, Coco, Beau, Jean-Luc. They called our names in a frenzy, voices blending into one. Resolve hardened to a sharpened point in my chest as I looked at them. We'd already lost so much, each of us. Fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers. Our homes, our hope. Our very hearts. No more. I found Reed's gaze last, holding it longer than the others. When I shook my head slowly, determinedly, he drew to a swift halt, chest heaving. We stared at each other for the span of a single heartbeat. Then he nodded. I love you, I told him. As I love you. Morgane sneered, lowering the hood of Auguste's lionskin cloak as she advanced. She'd stolen it from his corpse at the cathedral. Though charred black in places, she wore it as a trophy now. Its teeth glinted around her throat in a gruesome smile, and its mane spread proudly across her shoulders. No more running, Louise. No more hiding. She jabbed a finger across the chasm, where Blaze and the remains of his pack had gathered, where Elvire and her Melusine still attempted to cross, where Claude had fallen to fate unknown. Your god has fallen, your dragon has perished, and your precious allies cannot reach you here. I must admit, you are far cleverer than I ever gave you credit. How cunning it was to hide behind those more powerful than yourself. How cruel. We are more alike than you realize, darling. But the time has come at last. You are alone. But I wasn't alone, not truly. In life or in death, I'd have someone to meet me. Someone to love me. My stomach curdled at Nicolina's congealed throat, at Josephine's empty expression. Though the former might have found peace with her son, could the latter say the same? Could Morgane? She stepped over their corpses without acknowledgement. Already they meant less to her than the mire beneath her boots. Your generals are dead, I said quietly. I think you are the one alone. The blood witches stiffened as Morgane paused, turning to kick Josephine's vacant face. Good riddance. With a crippling sense of sorrow, I stared at her as my white patterns undulated weakly. I couldn't kill her with them, not outright. Death was natural, yes, but murder was not. It hardly mattered now either way. When I'd clasped two sides of the very world, trying to save Claude, a god, a friend, from his own magic, I'd nearly rent myself apart. My patterns had distended past the point of reparation. Some had snapped altogether. Those remaining had grown dim with weariness. Morgane didn't know that. I searched each carefully now, seeking a distraction, something to allow me near, something to debilitate her long enough for me to strike. Gently, I fed the patterns outward. Have you loved anyone in this world, Maman? She scoffed and lifted her hands. Love? I curse the word. Has anyone loved you? Her eyes narrowed on mine, her mouth twisted in question. It's true, I admitted, quieter still. I did love you once. Part of me still does, despite everything. I twitched my finger, and the water of the Doleur trickled steadily, silently through the grass beneath our feet. It melted the snow. It cleansed the blood. If Morgan noticed, she didn't react, though her features remained riddled with spite. She studied me as if enthralled, as if she'd never heard me say it, though I told her 1,000 times. A single tear slid down my cheek in response, and the pattern dissipated. A tear for a river. Both held endless depths. "You gave me life," I continued, stronger now, the words spilling faster than I'd intended. Cathartic. "Of course I loved you. Why do you think I allowed them to chain me to an altar? At 16 years old, I was willing to die for you, my mother." Another tear fell, and the water flowed faster. It touched her hem now. "You never should have asked me. I'm your daughter." "You were never my daughter. You gave me life. I gave you purpose. What should I have done, darling? Cradled you in my arms while others' daughters perished, while they burned? Should I have valued your life more than theirs?" "Yes." The confession burst from me in a shock of cold regret, and I capitalized on it, clenching my fist. The water around Morgan's feet froze to solid ice. It trapped her. "You should have valued me. You should have protected me, because I am the only person in this world who still loves you." "You are a fool," she snarled, fire lashing from her fingertips, "and a predictable one at that." With the slash of her hand, the ice melted, and the ground itself desiccated in a fiery path toward me. It didn't burn my skin, however, instead passing through it, straight to my organs. My body temperature spiked as my blood literally began to boil, as my muscles cramped and my vision spun. Crying out, Celie attempted to leap to my aid, but the blood witches held her back, recoiling from Morgan, in fear, in hatred. With seconds to react, I seized another pattern, and the Prindel tree nearest me withered and blackened to ash. The lion of Auguste's cloak began to reanimate. I fell to my knees, smoke curling from my mouth as its teeth sank deep into Morgan's neck. Screaming, she whirled, pulling a knife from her sleeve, but the half-formed lion clung to her back. Tendon and muscle continued to regenerate with gruesome speed. Where sleeves had been, mighty paws rose to grip her shoulders. Its hind legs kicked at her back. Morgan's fiery hold had dissipated as she struggled, and I fought to rise, to breathe. When she buried her blade in the beast's chest, it gave a final snarl before falling limp. She heaved its carcass between us. Blood poured from wounds on her neck, her shoulders, her legs, but she ignored them, clenching another fist. "Is that the best you can do?" Beneath my armor, against my skin, arose an alarming tickle, the skitter of legs. "You may call yourself La Dame des Sorcières, you may kill trees and steal rivers, but you will never know this magic as I have known it. You will never conquer its power as I once did. Just look at yourself. Already it has weakened your feeble spirit." She advanced in earnest now, a lethal gleam in her eyes. "The goddess has chosen wrong, but I do not need her blessing to conquer you." Scrambling backward, hardly hearing her words, I pulled hastily at my armor. Hundreds of spiders burst from the woven fabric, from their own silk. They scuttled over my body in a wave of legs, piercing my skin with their fangs. Each bite brought a prick of pain, a tingle of numbness. Shrieking instinctively, heart palpitating, I crushed all within reach, sweeping their wriggling corpses from my arms, legs, chest. "You were born to be immortal, Louise." Morgan lifted her hands, pouring her rage, her frustration, her guilt into another bout of fire. I rolled to avoid it, squashing the last of the spiders, and seized the lion's skin as a shield. "Though destined to die, your name would have lived forever. We could have written history together, the two of us. You may scorn me now, you may hate me always, but I gave everything, I sacrificed everything for you, for love." Feeding strength to the fur through another pattern, I crouched lower. The grass beneath her feet ignited instead. She leapt away from it with a hiss. "You cannot imagine the grief of your birth. Even you cannot imagine the bitterness I felt. I should have killed you then. I'd even lifted the knife, prepared to plunge it into your newborn heart, but you clasped my finger. With the whole of your fist you clutched me, blinking those sightless eyes. So peaceful, so content. I couldn't do it. In a single moment, you softened my heart. Her flames subsided abruptly. I failed our people that day. It took 16 years to harden myself again. Even then, I would have gifted you everything. I would have gifted you greatness. I didn't want greatness. Casting my shield aside, I pushed my feet at last. Her heart might have softened for a newborn babe, but she hadn't ever loved me. Not me. Not truly. Not the person. She'd loved the idea of me. The idea of greatness, of salvation. I'd mistaken her attention for the genuine thing. I hadn't known what real love looked like then. I glanced across the chasm to Reed, Coco, and Beau, who stood hand in hand at the edge, pale and silent. I knew what it looked like now, both love and grief, two sides of the same wretched coin. I only wanted you! When I clenched my fist, exhaling hard, my grief ruptured into a storm wind. Grief for the mother she could have been, grief for the good moments, for the bad moments, for all the moments in between. Grief for the mother I had lost, truly, long before this one. The wind blasted her backward, but she twisted midair, and the momentum carried her closer to Celie. Wicked intent flared in Morgan's eyes. Before I could stop her, she jerked her fingers, and Celie skidded from the Blood Witches as if pulled by an invisible rope. Morgan caught her. She used her body as a shield, pressing her knife to Celie's breastbone. Foolish child! How many times must I tell you? You cannot defeat me. You cannot hope to triumph. Once upon a time, you could have been immortal, but now your name will rot with your corpse. She broke off inexplicably, her mouth falling open in a comical O. Except it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny at all. Stumbling backward, she thrust Celie away with a noise of surprise and glanced down. I followed her gaze. A quill lodged deep in her thigh, its syringe quivering from impact. An injection. I stared at it in shock, in relief, in horror. Each emotion flickered through me with wild abandon, 100 others, each passed too quickly to name, to feel. I could only stare, numb, as she slid to her knees in a smooth, fluid motion, as her hair rippled down her shoulders, less silver now than bloody scarlet. Eyes still wrapped on the syringe, she slipped sideways. She didn't move. Cold metal touched my palm, and Celie's voice drifted from afar. Do you need me to do it? I felt myself shake my head. My fingers curled around the hilt of her dagger. Swallowing hard, I approached my mother's limp body. When I brushed her hair from her face, her eyes rolled back to look at me, pleading. I couldn't help it. I pulled her across my lap. Her throat worked for several seconds before sound came out. Duh. Duh. I memorized those emerald eyes. Yes. Then I drew Celie's blade across my mother's throat.